What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Trigger. This is Trigger Tips number 505 here on Wednesday, March 6th. Yeah, man.
Nice. 505.
Let's start off with the big story of the week so far, besides Super Tuesday. We're going to get to that. Trump had a huge win at SCOTUS this week. The Supreme Court ruling unanimously that Trump can stay on the ballot. Their attempt at really the ultimate election interference and the subversion of our Constitution has been thwarted. Really nice to see a unanimous ruling. Even the Democrats are like, yeah, this is f-ing insane.
Yeah.
That Colorado Secretary of State, total crazy woman. Have you seen her eyes?
Jenna Griswold?
Yeah, you could just see it in the eyes. the court made it clear that the responsibility for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates rests with Congress and not the states. Therefore, no state can attempt to remove a federal candidate from the ballot.
Really? Because the liberal media told me this was about the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah, well, you know.
you saw some of those push notifications from AP. It's like, that's not what this was about.
And now, of course, they're going to try to tie it to that. Now, the other major Supreme Court case pending in relating to President Trump is the presidential immunity case, which not only ties to the special counsel case on January 6th, but also the documents case as well. More so important for the January 6th case, because if the Supreme Court rules that presidential immunity applied, the January 6th case goes away.
Yeah.
And so the thing about this is a lot of people look at it as, oh, well, the Supreme Court, you know, will just side with Trump. But that's not what this is about. This is about the concept of presidential immunity, okay? And if you're going to strip that away, it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're going to have presidents getting sued and all that kind of it's just really for the function of the office itself. You can't have that. And that's why I think that the Supreme Court in the end will rule that immunity does apply and that immunity is pretty absolute. Probably by like 6-3 ruling is what I say.
Probably.
It could be bigger than that, though. It
could be 7-2.
I think
8-1?
So. Maybe. It might even be unanimous because it might be the same thing as, you know, these libs may be like, Trump, we hate Trump too. But the concept of presidential immunity must stand. It's a very important part of, you know, giving the person the opportunity to do the job well. So, yeah, that's where we're at with the Supreme Court cases. And now, of course, that is not going to be heard until April. And then the question is, how quickly will they rule on that? Will they turn around and rule on it within a week or two?
I think they should take months.
Well,
it's a big question. They should take as long as they needed.
I could see them dragging it into potentially early June or potentially even later. Normally, they leave the biggest decisions for the end to be released at the end of the term. But that has a direct impact on when those cases or case may start to trial, and that really is going to dictate whether these will even make it to trial before the election in November. So, a lot riding on it, and of course, we'll have it fully covered for you. Now, Super Tuesday was yesterday.
Great day.
A great day. Trump pulverized Nikki Haley. I mean, he won states by 30, 40, 50, even 60 points in some cases. I think he won Alabama by close to 70. I think Alaska might have been even close to 80. So
it was a good drumming.
When I looked at it last, but you know Alaska with their, like, you know, bullshit counting procedures.
Because they mail everything. Remember, a lot of them are mailed in.
Yeah.
We can't.
So nonetheless, that led to a very momentous occasion. This morning, Mr. Producer, roll it.
Let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
The neocon witch is dead. She is no more. She's out of the race. The evil, the scourge on us is gone. And
now she can go back to Boeing and fix their planes falling out of the sky.
No, she'll probably go to like Lockheed Martin or Raytheon or her people. There was a good Babylon Bee article this morning, and it said Raytheon lowers their flags to half staff in honor of Nikki Haley. Really funny. So yeah, he just stomped all over her. She won Vermont. That was it. So her record was she won DC, Queen of the Swamp, this past weekend, no surprise, and Vermont.
Which is an open primary. The only states where she actually did well with, in these primaries are like where independents and Democrats could help her out. Yep. So New Hampshire, Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why those exit polls regarding, you know, how Haley supporters feel about Trump and the 2024 election and this, that, and the other, just kind of, you have to take it with a grain of salt because it's corrupted data.
Mm-hmm.
You have Democrats who are being filed with Republicans, and that's just not the case.
It's all the more case for a closed primary system.
Yeah.
For our nomination.
Yeah. So for that 90-minute, segment, those panel discussions on MSNBC and CNN about how, Trump is going to have to win back 30% of the party. No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Don't even get me started on that. First off, okay, the people, like you said, in general, who were voting for her are, sure, there is some moderate Republicans, the anti-Trump group, and then there were the Democrats.
Yeah. Right?
Those Democrats were never going to vote for a Republican in the general regardless.
No.
And they said so in interviews outside of these polling places.
Yeah.
So you automatically lop that off the top, right? Sure, you have some independents. You have some moderate Republicans. If they don't want to get on the team, then oh well.
Yeah.
Like, this is a binary choice.
Yeah.
This is, you either hold your nose and get on the team and support Trump and vote for him. You don't have to be rah-rah, You don't have to donate your money.
Yeah.
Just go pull the lever or fill the bubble and vote. Otherwise, you're essentially enabling Biden. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's black and white.
Yeah.
And so all this bullshit about, they got to come back and woo us back.
No, you don't. We're really talking, like, the anti-Trump wing is only about 8 to 12% of the party, I would suspect. And even in past general elections for over a generation, 10% of Republicans and around 10% of Democrats are not going to support whoever the nominee is in a general election, right?
Yeah.
90-10. That's where it is. Just move on. This is not really a thing.
The concept, of course we want to unify the party, but the concept that Trump has to, give some blubbering apology or response to this is outrageous.
Yeah.
And listen, we were as divided as it gets in 2016.
Oh my God.
We came together, we crushed Hillary in the election, and it was a great night.
It was.
And we have the ability to do it here if people would just, stop being so self-centered,
I was supporting DeSantis
in the primary. Yeah. Everybody knows it. Guess what? When the writing was on the wall, said it's time to get to behind Trump and unite.
Okay. I was the same way in 2016.
Sure.
And I was the same way, and I was the same way in 2020. I was willing to give DeSantis a little bit of a shot.
Well, it didn't work out.
Didn't work out?
It just didn't work out. That's how primaries work.
Didn't work out.
The primaries happen, everybody fights, and then in the end, we have to all support the nominee.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing is getting Joe Biden out of here and getting Republican majorities in the House and the Senate.
And also, I think that's kind of a red herring, too, this whole debate. Because at the end of the day, when everything's all tabulated, I believe Trump is going to have over 1,000 delegates.
Well, not only is he the presumptive nominee because there's no competition now, but mathematically he's going to clinch it next Tuesday night.
I'm just saying, like, he's gonna have, when everything's all tabulated and everything, he's going to have over 1,000 delegates. Nikki Haley ends her run with fewer than 100. I'm pretty sure that, what do we need to woo?
Well, that was,
you know, like, I'm trying to say, like, what the f*** are they talking about? What faction do we need to woo over to, not make this a circus?
Also, with the writing on the wall that she was going to not only lose, but lose badly on Super Tuesday, she went out and gave an unhinged interview this weekend where she was asked, are you going to support Trump? and honor your pledge, your RNC pledge, to support the nominee of the party.
Yeah, she wouldn't say yes.
Not only would she not say yes, she said, oh, well, it's a different RNC now.
Yeah.
Which is a total bullshit.
What does that even mean?
You know, thing. Then she said, well, will Trump support me when I win the nomination?
Yeah.
I mean, how unhinged can you be?
It's just delusional.
Like, and so you knew that you were going to get absolutely pounded on Super Tuesday and have to drop out the next day. The money had dried up. We all saw the writing on the wall. The events were all canceled.
I mean,
we knew it was coming.
I mean, 3 hours after the polls closed, Trump had netted 430 more delegates to Nikki's 3. And...
This decision was made a while
ago. Oh, no, it was made a while ago. I'm just saying, like, you know, her spin over the weekend was also, we just want a competitive showing.
Yeah. But not only that, she hid last night.
Well, she did.
She
was in Charleston.
You know, whatever.
Getting drunk with her staffers,
probably. You know, the writing was on the wall. She knew she was going to drop out. Whatever. You don't want to do it on election night. That's fine. But then this morning she goes out there and gives this kind of, like, indignant speech. And then does not endorse Trump.
Yeah.
And so if she were really interested in actually uniting the party, she would have done
what Ron DeSantis did. Yeah.
And said, you know what? We had our differences. We had a primary. That's how politics work. I'm now in full support of our nominee for president.
And Mitch McConnell has a lot of reservations about Trump. We saw that after the January 6th riot, you know, the little, this, that, and the other. He endorsed Trump today as well.
Trump called his wife, like, a or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and he still
endorsed him. So,
and because at the end of the day, Mitch McConnell, you know, say what you will about him, but he knows you just have to get on the team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, like there's no other alternative here. And, you know, I thought it's, you know, time heals, but I truly thought that Ted Cruz's 2016 RNC address was just horrific. Remember the whole party unity, but vote your conscience, right? It was bad, still bad. Drew more louder boos than when Hillary was on the prompter. This is worse, and I thought that was impossible.
Yeah, well, you know? and not only that, Ted Cruz in the end actually came around and turned into a great America First warrior, which is very ironic. Yeah. I mean,
Nikki, like,
I don't know that she'll ever actually endorse Trump.
I don't think she will. I think she'll go Liz Cheney and just sulk and vent and just steam.
I forget what we were watching last night, whether it was CNN or Fox. And someone was like, is Nikki Haley trying to be the new Liz Cheney?
That was CNN.
And I had never thought of it that way, but it actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
She very well might be trying to do that. She may not endorse him in the end to try to keep, you know, her liberal, big money losers happy. And so that's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Yeah. At the end of the day, whether she does or doesn't, I don't think makes a difference. Either you're going to vote for Trump or you're not. Her endorsement or any, you know, supposed apologies or party unity or whatever, it's all noise and all bullshit.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you either get on the team or you don't.
Or you don't get
on the team. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't a whole lot of really surprising things that happened last night on Super Tuesday. For a few minutes, it looked like Dan Crenshaw might have a shot at losing. That got me very excited. And then, unfortunately, he won Eyepatch McCain. We had, that liberal Texas House Speaker is going to a runoff, so he might lose, which could be interesting. Of course, he betrayed the voters, total traitor. A lot of stuff going on down there with Ken Paxton. And it's, Texas politics is very interesting, honestly, how it's such a red state. Although, if you listen to the Democrats, they've been saying for the past 20 years that they're going to turn Texas. Blue. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
Unless, of course, they legalize all these millions of illegals, which in the end is their actual game plan.
The thing is, they look at the rising Hispanic population. They keep forgetting about, like, the Texas, like, the homegrown Texas Hispanics, the Tejanos, who, by the way, don't view themselves as Hispanic. They view themselves as white.
Yeah.
And they're all as gun-toting, God-fearing conservatives.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, do they not see that Trump actually quintupled his support among the border counties along the Rio Grande in 2020. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, you know, the whole, I mean, Wendy Davis is probably their best shot.
Yeah.
And she blew it because she was all about abortion, and she could barely break 40%.
There's a very interesting undercurrent here in this election particularly, and I think we saw maybe the first beginnings of it with 2020 and Trump, where he got essentially, I think, the highest percentage of Hispanic vote that any Republican has got, except for, I think, maybe George W. Bush.
Yeah, George W. Bush got a good one. 44%.
And I think the highest percentage of black support ever as well.
Yeah.
This next election could blow those numbers out of the water.
Yeah.
In recent polls, consistently across multiple different polling firms, Trump has been breaking through 20% of black support, which has never been done.
I think he's close to a quarter.
It's close, between 20 and 25, depending on the poll.
Yeah.
Never been done before, okay, for a presidential candidate. If that happens, the race is over.
Yeah.
Okay? But not only that, if you look at Hispanic, he was winning Hispanics.
Yeah.
Winning Hispanics nationally. And if that happens, the race is over.
Yeah.
So
he's getting more of the Jewish vote because of all this Israel-Hamas stuff happening, too.
So there's very interesting kind of, I don't want to say coalition forming here because it may not have staying power, but the current situation of the country being invaded by illegals.
Yeah. He almost got 30% of the LGBT vote in 2020.
Yeah.
Trump.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I'm not saying any coalition, but it's just that's everything.
It dispels the Democrat narrative that
we own these people. Yeah.
Well, that Republicans are only voting on race.
Yeah.
Too. And you saw that same narrative trouted out last night.
Oh God.
By Nicole Wallace, I believe, or maybe it was, what's her name? The black lady on MSNBC.
Joy Reid.
Yep. Joy Reid.
Oh yeah, the brown people invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Republicans are just racist and voting against, you know, all based on race.
Yeah.
Well, how does that explain, then, Mark Robinson, a pretty much as black as you could get guy, down in North Carolina, now the Republican nominee for governor, could become the first black governor of North Carolina. I know you don't like to play that diversity game, but that'd be fun if we beat them to that.
Yeah.
He won in a landslide.
Oh, that was
massive white support. That
was probably one of the first races called, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And Mark Robinson is actually a really great story. For those of you who don't know the backstory behind him, I've been a fan of this guy since he first came onto the scene in 2018. And the way he got his initial breakthrough was he went to the Greenboro City Council, I think was the place, and gave a passionate speech in defense of our Second Amendment rights against a city council trying to infringe on those rights. And that speech went viral, and he became, you know, a local player, and then eventually became kind of a well-known entity, ran for lieutenant governor in 2020, won, and now is the current lieutenant governor and running for governor.
Yeah.
And this guy is just a normal guy. He came from nothing in politics, built himself up, is a normal average citizen, and is a total non-politician. And you can tell in the way he interacts with people.
Yeah.
Okay? And how
nothing's prepackaged.
Right. He doesn't adhere to the whole politically correct bullshit.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite videos of this guy, beyond the Second Amendment speech that he gave, is he was at a church talking about the transgender movement.
Oh, God.
And you may have heard this before, but for those of you who haven't, I wanted to play it in full because I think it's perfect and it sums up how we need to take on this craziness coming out of the left. If you have heard it before, you could skip ahead 2 minutes. Otherwise, enjoy this clip.
Here's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. Two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. And I can already see WRL out there. They got their licking their pencils around, trying to write fierce as they can. Get every word of this here. Get every word of this. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. Come after me if you want to. I don't care. You want my head? Here it is right here. Come on, come get it. I don't care because it's time for us to stand up. And I'm not afraid to stand up and tell the truth about that issue. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school. 2 + 2 don't equal transgender. It equals 4. We need to get back to teaching them how to read instead of teaching them how to go to hell. Yeah, I said it and I mean it.
So my favorite part about this guy is he's a big guy, right? Big black guy, just sweating, carries around a sweat towel with him all the time, which I love. I could personally relate to that. And he is so real. And, like, I wish more politicians were like that. So, hopefully, he's going to become the governor of North Carolina. He's going to be out there campaigning with Trump. North Carolina, of course, will be a key state again. But, like, this whole argument that it's just white people voting for Trump.
Oh, yeah.
It's just insane.
Same as old.
It's just insane. In fact, really, the Democrats have now become the party of the elite.
Of snobby, coastal elites. Yeah.
Coastal elite whites.
Yeah.
The, you know, the air quote college educated, really it's just the woke white women who are really destroying America if you look at it.
The whites only beach club people.
Yeah, Sheldon Whitehouse. Yeah.
I mean, look at Adam Schiff's Senate primary results.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all the coasts. Mm-hmm. None of the interior of California voted for this guy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's going to be a very interesting fight here with this kind of, you know, I don't want to say coalition because I think it's a strong word for now. I want to see these actual votes occur.
Interesting, but it could be grouping.
An interesting. But it could be a really new coalition for the Republican Party.
Unless the Democrats cheat.
They're going to try to cheat, of course. But it's a party of real people, the working class.
Yeah.
You know, not these, you know, pieces of in the cities that are destroying our country.
And that's why we have an electoral college, which credits and favors candidacies of geographic diversity. But, you know, that's apparently lost on
well, and you know
that it's, you know, electoral college is based on slavery and racism.
You know they already hate the Senate because it gives equal representation to each state. Yeah.
How can Wyoming have the same amount of senators as California?
Well, you see here this thing called the Constitution.
There's this lower chamber that goes by that.
Yeah, right.
And then there's the upper chamber. It's just like, the f*** is this?
Yeah.
This is what happens, you know, like, you know, when basic civics and, like, the Federalist Papers are no longer taught in schools.
Man. Oh, 100%.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm sure you did. I had to read the Federalist Papers. Is that even taught anymore?
No, definitely not. No way. Other interesting Senate news. Kyrsten Sinema is not running in Arizona, which is bad news for us.
Yeah, she there.
Yeah, I was kind of interested to see her say that because I thought for sure she was going to run just to stick it to the Dems, who now hates because of the way they have treated her. So it'd be interesting to see what she does, if she maybe endorses Carrie Lake. I don't know. Really, it's all going to come down to...
I could see her not supporting Carrie Lake, but saying everything but attacking Ruben Gallego all the time. Yeah.
Ruben Gallego, gotta be honest, looks a little bit Down syndrome-y.
Yeah, he is a little bit.
Right?
Yeah,
he looks like he got nicked by it a little bit.
He is a little bit.
He's
a f***ing psychopath, if you read his platform.
Well, yeah, and
it's you want to talk about legal immigration. They're going to basically, like, you know, take over Arizona and call it, like, the Republican of whatever. Like, seriously.
Well, I think because of the way that he is and the craziness that he represents, even though Carrie Lake, I like Carrie Lake, but I don't think she's particularly a strong candidate sometimes.
The crossover appeal is where she falls short. She has the base, but she needs a little bit more independent help, and they don't like her.
They don't like her, but again, she could benefit from the same thing as people hating on Biden.
Yeah.
Where he, you know, Gallego's a psychopath, right?
Yeah.
And it's a presidential year.
That's true. Right? I mean,
so if you go in there as an independent, yeah, you're voting for Trump.
Yeah.
The chance that you vote Trump Gallego, pretty low.
Yeah.
Right. Trump Sinema. Sure, yeah. Could have seen
a
that.
A vote for Gallegos, a vote for Biden.
And Sinema had like 15%.
They can do that.
So the real question is, you know, we're gonna see in the new polls, right?
Yeah, where are they
going? Because
they don't like him either.
Yeah.
I mean, when Boss Bob ran in 06 against Tom Keene, he did that to Tom Keene.
Yeah.
Because, you know, wasn't necessarily like an unlikable guy, but all he said was, this guy, vote for Keene is vote for Bush.
Mm-hmm. Which, by
it's
the way,
also New Jersey, too, in 06. It was a bad year for us to begin with. It was just a perfect storm.
He's gone. That's never going to vote Republican ever again.
I know.
Because all the Republicans have left. That's really the problem. Yeah. But interesting you bring up Bob Menendez.
Oh, yeah.
Newly re-indicted.
I can't keep up with all these superseding indictments. Mm-hmm. Can you?
My question is, how did we, Republicans, kick out George Santos?
Oh, and this guy's still kicking in there in the Senate? Yeah, no.
Not only is he still in the Senate... He is, I don't know if he's the ranking member, but he's up there on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
I think he had to step down.
No, he's still on the committee.
Oh, on the committee. Oh,
I don't know. He's ranking member.
He's no longer the chairman. He had to...
Oh, he was the chairman.
Did he actually
step down? Are you sure about that?
That's part of the bylaws when you're indicted. You can't chair. But he still has access to sensitive information on that committee.
He still got his clearance.
Yeah.
He was a foreign agent on the Foreign Relations Committee.
That was the thing. There was a classified briefing on Ukraine in December,
mm-hmm.
and that was the question of, well, is Bob even going to be there with all?
Yeah.
Because he can still go, and then, you know, Schumer was like, "Well, I didn't see him," which I don't trust.
What else we got going on? Some interesting Senate candidates popping up around the country. Closely watched race out in Ohio next. I think next week or the week after, maybe the 19th.
Yeah.
Pitting the Trump-endorsed candidate Bernie Moreno, mainly against, I think, Ohio's Secretary of State, I believe.
Yeah.
Frank LaRose. That's going to be a close one, interesting to watch. Getting pretty nasty in that primary. There's a good candidate up in Wisconsin who's taking on Tammy Baldwin.
Oh.
And I forget the guy's name, but I saw a couple of videos of him this past weekend. And I think he's going to have a really good shot to defeat her.
Really?
Up in Wisconsin. Yep.
Well, this is it, because this is like Haley's Comet. This is never going to
happen. Well, yeah. Again, presidential year.
Presidential year.
I think it's really going to be interesting to see in some of these key Senate races in states where Trump has a good shot of winning, which Wisconsin, I think, is very high on that list right now.
Yeah.
Will there be a major crossover vote? What's going to go on there? And will be particularly ripe for under-ballot or under-vote cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we've seen many times.
Yep.
Like when they cheated on the Trump race, but forgot to handle the House races, which is why we ended up with the House in 2020. And there was all kinds of mathematical mismatches there. What other states are having key Senate races this year? Pennsylvania, you know, I don't know. Again, I think...
She's a cruel mistress to us. You know?
Yeah, like, well, you know, they're going with the more McCormick route again, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
And he could be good, you know. He's a little establishment corporatist for me, but might work there.
We'll see.
You know, it's
a state that, frankly, we shouldn't be losing all the time consistently, given you know, the demographics there, but we always find a way to f*** up.
But interestingly enough, party registration's been shifting in our favor very slowly but surely.
And I think there's a lot of Democrats who are pissed off about the crime and
Definitely.
So,
and again, I think that's going to be another state that goes with the presidential, right? If Trump can pull Pennsylvania back, which I think he certainly has a shot to do, I think it probably pulls the Senate seat with it, which would be huge.
Big. Big.
And then, so, you know, the Senate map looked pretty positive for us. if we don't take the Senate back...
It's one of the best maps ever, probably.
Right. If we don't take the Senate back, it'd be a catastrophic disaster. You know, I could easily see a case, and now I don't think this is what's going to happen right now, if I had to make a prediction, I could see a case where we lose presidential and House, but win Senate, which would be key for preventing total ruin for the country. Yeah, now, I still think we'd be ruined regardless with another Democrat president for four more years. But yeah, the map is the most favorable map we've ever seen.
Yeah,
And so they really have to capitalize on that.
Like, get serious. Come on.
We can't have another Rick Scott disaster.
Oh, him going to Italy for 3 weeks on a yacht?
Yeah, right before the election.
Yeah.
Just totally not paying attention to what's going on. Definitely contributed to the fizzle of the red wave. You know, the House races are going to be interesting. I think that, you know, obviously I keep saying this, and I think it's 100% true. If the election were held today, it'd be a landslide victory for Trump. We'd probably win the House and certainly win the Senate.
We'll win the Rust Belt, too. I think we would shatter the blue wall in the Rust Belt. Given all the uncommitteds.
Unfortunately, for us, the election is still 8 months away.
Yeah.
So, you know, the question is, where is this going to go from here, right? We got tomorrow night, the State of the Union, which is being really talked up by Biden's team.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing, especially with the talking points they really want to hit on. You know,
like, I don't know.
The binary choice.
I just don't know why they're raising the expectations like that.
Yeah.
They should know their guy f-ing sucks. And he's borderline retarded, and they're going to have to pump him so full of drugs just to get him up there to be able to make this speech, which, by the way, over-under on it is under an hour. I think he's going to go under an hour, yeah.
Wow.
It depends on how much applause. They're going to pump him so full of drugs.
They should have it at 4 o'clock, though.
Well, that's why I'm surprised.
Because when the sun goes down, you know, where am I? Right?
That's why I'm surprised at not. I think he might have a good flub in there that really makes him look bad, or he'll trip over some words. Maybe he'll trip.
Oh, yeah.
And fall. You know, he's not looking good these days.
No.
So
he's half dead.
It's always very obvious when they have pumped him full of drugs versus when they have not.
Yeah.
You know, when he's talking, his mannerisms, totally different. So that's tomorrow night. State of the Union. Trump is going to be reacting live on Truth Social.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. We'll have that fully covered for you at townhall.com if you don't want to follow on Truth. I think, Matt, you're going to do the coverage of that.
Yeah, I got Truth.
So that's very interesting. Also, Trump last night. His speech last night for, you know, such a jubilant victory.
Restrained.
And, you know, I said this to you last night.
Yeah.
If he keeps that tone, stays focused and issue-based, it will be a landslide in November.
Agreed.
Will he be able to do that? Not exactly sure.
But it was a good, you know, and I kind of took it as, you know, I took Nikki Haley's words over the weekend of hers, you know, I'm not worried about wins or losses. I'm worried about, you know, just being focused on what's ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's what Trump just did.
Right.
Looking past Haley, because she's no longer, at the time, I mean, she dropped out now, but she was already dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Why even mention her name? He didn't even mention her.
Yeah.
And just look past her, focus on, and he had the best line for Joe Biden, saying, you know, they think this guy's great, going to the beach until he can't, you know, walk through the sand or lift up his beach chair, which weighs 9 ounces, you know, like so. You know, I'm just saying that's where his energies should be going if he wants to attack somebody, attack the president.
I just found it very interesting, his overall demeanor. And they're very clearly now running a campaign.
The I told you so narrative.
The I told you so narrative.
Look what I've done.
You know how long I've been saying that.
And, you know, he brought up the Abraham Accords, how he pounded ISIS, how we're not going to get taken advantage of around the world.
I think I said back in 2020, right after the loss.
Yeah.
That the only way for Trump to make a comeback was going to be if the I told you so was so overwhelming.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's just so glaring. And that has happened. And really, if you look at where Trump has come back from, you know, it's one of the great American political comeback stories.
Oh, for sure.
Everyone wrote him off as dead in the water.
Yeah.
And so that's very interesting. But they're running a campaign now that seems very focused on discipline and tone and appealing to the people who have always said
that he's like a bull in the china closet,
that he's too crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that it really could work, because at the end of the day, you don't have to convince the base, right? Of course, there's going to be moments to rile up the base and this and that, you know, get out the vote and all that stuff, and that may be different. But at the end of the day, right now, his main focus has been to convince the people who have always been so emotionally disturbed by his, antics. You know, bombasticness.
Yeah,
yeah. That, oh, I could never vote for Trump. Well, maybe I'll think about it this time. And I think that that's a product of the guy in charge of his campaign, Chris LaCivita.
Yeah.
Who I was initially very concerned about, but he has run so far a very solid, disciplined campaign.
Yeah.
And I think that him also now taking on the role of chief operating officer of the RNC is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's good.
And
he mentioned that. Trump mentioned that. He's like, we have some great people.
Yes.
Really talented people running the show.
And I also think that the fact that Chris LaCivita's former military, kind of like that drill sergeant-esque vibe to him, he's a no-nonsense guy. I think that vibes perfectly with Trump. And he can, you know, he could speak to Trump and say, listen, Don, you just got to hold on here and just cruise through.
Stay focused. Don't be braggadocious.
But really, I think that he has found a guy in this campaign manager who really could see us through to victory.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty encouraged by that. Now, the one thing that I think that we've struggled on so far, and I've said it for a long time, is fundraising.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that with the changeover at the RNC here in this, you know, upcoming week, we got the new guy coming in, Whatley from North Carolina. I'm hoping that we're going to see a solid turnaround here. And now that Trump's the presumptive nominee, you can form the Jordan fundraising committees and really
we can get things going.
Kick it into high gear. Yeah.
Payoff, get the RNC's finances house in order first, though, obviously, and then focus on everything else.
Well, the good thing is that they don't have, like, a ton of debt.
No, it's not as bad as Michael Steele.
Correct.
It's not as bad. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not great.
They just need to start raising the money. It's
not cluster the poorhouse bad.
They need the small dollar donors, and they need to start cranking that big time. Because you know the Democrats, not just Biden's apparatus himself, but all that outside dark money, they're going to spend a couple $1 billion to try to defeat Trump.
Yeah.
They're going to pull out all the stops. The Zuckerbucks, all that shit's going to be back and forth. Yeah. Luckily, a lot of states have banned it now.
Zuckerbucks. Oh, the Zuckerbucks? Yeah.
You know, with the whole, like, oh, we're going to help people vote. And by help people vote, I mean basically 99% of Democrats, you know, essentially harvest these ballots.
Yeah. But, hey, listen, they can still make up the difference with those $60,000 plate fundraisers that are going to be going out the wazoo in the Bay Area. So.
And so we need the ballot harvesting operation, the early voting, all that's the election integrity stuff. And Wally seems to be pretty decent with that.
He gets some good lawyers with that, too.
And sure, he was a pro at it in North Carolina in the last election.
Yeah, he knows what to do. He knows what to do.
So if we could bring that model national.
Yeah.
I will say that, you know, the concerns about the amateur team around Trump, they've really kind of grown into running a strong campaign at this point.
Yeah.
Which I did not expect. And so I,
that was a good worry of mine.
Kind of my hopes and aspirations for what they could be have sort of come true so far.
Yeah.
And so hopefully they can hold on to that path. You know, what do you think about kind of the two different campaign plans, right? Because it seems with Biden is they're going to try to get him out there, but also try to basement campaign it.
And they're going to try to go for the jugular, apparently.
Well, okay, let's talk about the State of the Union, because this is supposed to be a – they're essentially going to do a – you're either with us or with the MAGA terrorists.
Yeah, and they're going to go over, like, shrinkflation. They're basically going to call us – it's going to be, like, a soft message of, like, you're all idiots and we're –
a declaration of war.
Yeah, and I'm – you know, we know what we're doing, even though that I can't remember when my son died. Mm-hmm. And I just – and they're going to apparently going to try to attack Trump first. I always thought that the first camp, the go negative, is the one that, you know, is a sign of weakness. Mm-hmm. Which, frankly, I mean, the polling with Biden and how in his core, you know, voter blocks that support him in the Democratic base, I guess he kind of has to. But can he deliver haymakers?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the guy's talking to dead European leaders. So, I mean, I don't... seems pretty early to be going negative, but I mean, at this point, I think that's all they have, because the dementia's getting worse, the economy's going to get worse, the man's communication skills have hit the ceiling.
Well, the country's being invaded. Country's being invaded. Crime is skyrocketing. You know, inflation's still not under control. Like you said, the economy's going to get worse.
They're dithering on the border. We've lost as you said, we've lost operational control of the border. It's just, I guess you got to go for Hail Marys now, you know? You're third and you're fourth and 20. You know, you gotta send it.
Even a lot of moderate Democrats will admit now that things are off the rails.
Oh yeah.
You know, we risk war daily with the way that this White House behaves. I mean, do we really want this dementia guy with his, you know, finger on the button?
Yeah.
He's proved that Obama. Remember, Obama said there's not a foreign policy thing that Joe hasn't f***ed up in 40 years.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
He proved that. Perfectly.
Yeah. They're basically, honestly, this goes back to 2012. Like, good thing you mentioned Obama. It goes back to the 2012 playbook with Romney. Remember, it was Kill Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Kill Romney was the Obama playbook.
Yeah, put you all back in chains.
Granted, that really didn't, like, get executed until, like, the summer of 2012. Mm-hmm. Not, like, now. But, I mean, Obama had political skills and a good team to pull it off. Joe Biden has, like, you know, the mentally challenged doing this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that this campaign really comes down, this whole election.
Just a retread of failures, honestly.
Well, yeah, this whole election comes down to, I'd say, probably like 5 or 6 really key pivot things, okay? Yeah. Upcoming now, you have Trump will select a vice presidential nominee, okay? Yeah. That'll drive conversation for a bit. Then you have the conventions coming up.
Yep.
Right? Which will also be around the same time right after the Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity. And that's tied into the legal case, right? So that's really one big thing lumped together there. After that, you get past the summer where traditionally you'd have the debates. Trump today challenged Biden to debate anywhere, anytime, on any schedule. So now, like I was just saying a few weeks ago, now the full court press is going to begin to get him to debate. Because if you can get Trump one-on-one with Biden, regardless of who the moderator is, it's going to be very clear.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're going to do. They're going to really full court pressure them into agreeing to a debate. Yeah. I don't see how Biden wouldn't debate at this point.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Trump knows he can't be as overly aggressive as he was in the first debate. While it was entertaining for us, I think it did turn off a lot of people who were on the fence about
maybe, but also remember how Biden back then was a totally different character.
Oh, well, I mean, he was a little more lucid, yes.
Way
a
little more lucid. If you go back and you watch a video of that 2020 debate, right?
Yeah.
And then compare it to today.
Yeah, that's true.
No, totally different.
It is night and day.
Totally different. We've seen it day by day progress, his dementia getting worse, right? And it's the same way if, you know, you have a family member you haven't seen in years, and then all of a sudden you go to them and they're like way older and you're like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the same phenomenon.
That's true. Yeah, it is.
Right? The country has seen him degrade day by day, but compared to back then, so I don't know that there'd be as much sympathy. And also, Biden back then had a reputation for being this empathetic, you know, gentle individual.
Well, not anymore.
Well, now he's the whole country. And everybody's wallet has been by this guy. And the crime, the illegals. So he has a record, right? Yeah. And so he's
going to
he'll have to defend it.
Yeah, defend. And all Trump has to do is just be, you know, focused and pointed and bring those points up and just let Joe flub.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be as, you know, what do you mean, you know, the whole pushback stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that can make it worse. And then, you know, Biden short circuits mid-sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you really want.
That's probably what they're going to go for.
A slow troll, you know, like a deep fishing expedition.
They're certainly going to try to keep Biden from debating, but I don't think that they're going to be able to avoid it. I'd be shocked if they do. Yeah, and if they do.
This isn't 1968. You got to do it.
Well, and if they do, all Trump has to do in the weeks before the election,
just buy off three-hour blocks and just...
This guy is afraid to debate. He's old. He's weak. He's feeble.
Yeah.
And that totally just crushes the age.
Say it to my face.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right. So that's that for now. Obviously, we have 8 months to litigate this. It's going to be a wild ride. Trump versus Biden. 2020 all over again. Hopefully, no pandemic this time.
Yeah.
You know they're going to try some. All right, let's talk about the border real quick here. And actually, this isn't specifically about the border. A new report that has come out from the Center for Immigration Studies, specifically Todd Benzman, who does great work.
Yeah, he does.
He filed Freedom of Information Act lawsuits and found out that CBP, Customs Border Protection, approved secretive flights for 320,000 inadmissible aliens last year. Okay? The government, our government, is using our taxpayer dollars to send planes to foreign cities, load them up with illegals, and then fly them into the country.
Oh.
And then giving them work permits.
Oh, yeah, and all these goodies and gifts.
Yep. I mean, what? That's even, frankly, worse than the border.
Yeah, just being porous. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is an assisted invasion using our taxpayer dollars.
But he can't do anything about it, Storm. Mm-hmm. Remember, he can't do anything about this.
Yeah, that's
but he can charter flights.
Well, that's what he's going to say tomorrow night in the State of the Union is, well, you needed to pass this law. You just didn't need to take away all the Trump border policies.
Yeah.
The border was fine. That's all you needed to do.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't he going to have, like, Ukrainian and Israeli guests there? Are they going to be in the gallery?
I don't know. I think he invited Zelensky, and Zelensky said no. Which is pretty ironic.
You know why? Because we stopped giving him his gravy money.
Yeah.
The gravy train's over.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the whole Ukraine thing is ridiculous, and I don't really see a whole lot of money being passed soon for that. They could barely fund the government. We're on this CR now for a week, but there's this minibus, right? It's not an omnibus. They don't like calling it an omnibus.
The minibus.
It's
an omnibus. The minibus.
It's trillions of spending. It's all pet projects and pork and if Speaker Johnson allows this through, he probably will see a challenge to his speakership in the coming weeks. And he should. If he lets this through, he should be removed. Because we were told that he'd be an improvement over McCarthy. And so far, all we've gotten is nothing. Now, he has stopped the Ukraine bill.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he's done. That's the one thing he's done. And now, sure, I appreciate that. But if you're just going to fold the Democrats and let them pass all this spending, we'd be better off just passing another CR. At this point, just pass a CR until after the election.
I agree.
Like, you're not going to get your bills done.
Yeah.
And at this point,
especially when the other side knows you have no leverage because you only have like a 2-seat majority.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like with, you know, Obama. That's how Obama was able to roll Boehner.
Yeah.
Because he knew that, like, the car. I'm not bashing, of course, conservative you know, House Republicans here, but Obama knew that they would give Boehner grief and he can get whatever the he wants.
Yeah, well,
you know, barring the sequestration cuts, which weren't that didn't go deep enough, but you know, that's
they gotta get their together up there. Congress is just a joke, and Speaker Johnson, you know, I had a little bit of hope for him. He's done one or two good things here and there, but in reality, he has not been the conservative lion that we were promised, and the massive improvement over Speaker McCarthy. So we'll see what happens here in the coming weeks with the funding fight up there. If they pass this Democrat orgy of bullshit, He will be kicked out of the job. Yeah. And rightfully so at that point. So
Nancy Mace for Speaker? I'm just kidding.
She's the worst.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Watch out.
You couldn't have picked a worse person for that.
Right. Seriously.
Also, real quickly, before we finish the border stuff here, these two things that I forgot. Big things. The Supreme Court temporarily blocked the new Texas law that basically Texas can enforce border laws and deport people from the country. But the libs were like, oh, this is great news. We won. Not quite.
Nah.
They just did a stay, right, an injunction of the law going into effect because the lower court ruled that the law could go into effect. So then the Department of Justice, of course, Biden, appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, okay, we'll pause it here for you, but for a week. You have a week to tell us why we should keep this law from going into effect in an emergency injunction.
Yeah.
My prediction is that they are going to allow the law to go into effect on this injunction request. Then they're going to hear the full merits of the case, and then in a 5-4 decision, they'll uphold it.
Yeah.
Okay. Roberts. Yep. But, you know, Abbott has actually, I think, done a really good job down there standing up to the Biden administration.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of red state governors across the country are pitching in and helping, but he's the guy at the center of the fight, and I think he's really, he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done, and I think he's going to be very closely tied to Trump in this upcoming election, doing a lot of campaigning, talking about how bad the border is down there, because, well, you know, if you see some videos, right, they had someone, I think, down in Eagle Pass.
Yeah.
The residents of Eagle Pass are living under constant attack.
Yeah.
It's like one of the residents was like, we don't have freedom down here anymore.
Yeah.
You can't walk around without being begged for money by an illegal or potentially being mugged for your money on the street by an illegal. The Biden administration has completely destroyed our town. She's like, under Trump, we were able to live as normal Americans. But in this reality, it's like, you know, a war zone is what they called it.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily, you know, we live not on the border and we don't have to deal with that every day.
We do have MS-13 all over the place, though.
Well, some of these, you know, some of the liberal cities are getting the brunt of it now, too. And that was also one of the genius moves by Abbott.
Yeah.
Was sending those illegals out to Chicago, New York, and other places and making them hurt just as much. Not just as much, but a lot.
Yeah.
You know. I don't... Did you write about this one? We were watching this last night, MSNBC.
Yeah, I wrote it last night. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a pretty good... I mean, there were many, many meltdowns, but everyone kind of expected Haley to get trashed, so there was no, like, big, like, oh, my God. But that one was abysmal. It was with Jen Psaki mocking Virginia voters for worrying about immigration.
Yep. And we got a clip here for you.
Yeah, Let's play it.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Thinking, build
a
wall. Like, what?
Like, come on. Mm. You kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Well, and here's the thing.
Like, an illegal alien raped the teenager a week ago.
A joke like that maybe would have passed before. But a 14-year-old, like you said, was just raped by an illegal here in Virginia last week, which we talked about here on Trigger.
And Lakin Riley is now a national story. Uh-huh. Was murdered in Georgia by a Venezuelan illegal alien.
And just 20 minutes from where Jen Psaki lives in her Arlington County mansion, not too far from where we're broadcasting here.
Yeah.
In Montgomery County, Maryland, a 2-year-old was murdered by an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. And it was very interesting yesterday in the exit polling how the Democrats, the hardcorest of Democrats, still are in denial that this is even a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And it really lends...
Well, when you live in a gated community, Storm.
Sure.
You know, I mean, things seem like you're the gods on Olympus.
Sure, but everyone has eyes, right?
Yeah.
It gives credence to the theory that all of this is a huge evil plot
to
destroy the country.
Yeah.
Because at this point, if you don't see what's going on, you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're the ones that are doing this.
You might be mentally... You might need a cognitive test like Joe Biden should get.
Well, I just think it's pure evil at this point. For them to say that there's no issue whatsoever...
Yeah. Well, it does share a border with West Virginia. Like,
you could have varying degrees of what you think should be done on the immigration problem. But to not admit that there is a problem with... millions of illegals flooding into our country, us not knowing where they're coming from, a lot of them not being from South America or Latino countries.
Yeah.
They're from China, from Afghanistan. Yep. You have people from Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, all of these terror hotbeds.
They're coming up.
Yeah. And as Elon Musk said, they are seeding the next event like 9/11, and it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's going to be.
And because this is mostly a concern of, you know, suburbanites or rural voters, they just dismiss it as racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If it doesn't come from the cities, it's not a problem. Look at all of the Democratic Party's top issues among their base voters. It's all DEI bullshit. It's all trans stuff. It's all about, you know, putting gay porn in libraries. It's all about things that are mostly, you know, top discussion items with the Whole Foods crowd in the checkout line. You know? It's infuriating. Really was infuriating. And then, you know, to cap that off, you know, Joy Reid said the reason why Joe Biden looks older than Donald Trump is because Trump played golf a lot during his presidency. I don't know if you missed that part.
Yeah.
He said, like, Biden's been on vacation for 40% of his presidency.
Well, thank God. If he was working, we'd be even harder. The one other thing that they call us, right, the racists, we're now also the Christian nationalists.
Oh.
Because we dare to believe that our rights come from our creator, God, and not from a government. Last I checked, the Constitution specifically says the gods granted by our creator. But, you know, words, semantics. But so if believing that my rights come from something greater than a government or their, you know, their idealistic version of, I guess, an authoritarian society makes me a Christian nationalist, then so be it. That's how I feel about that.
Well, also, I'm like, I never knew. I mean, what primary documents have been discovered to show that Thomas Jefferson was a Christian nationalist?
Well, you know, here's the thing.
He was not, obviously, but I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know. I would argue that compared to the godless society that we live in today, of course, there's supposed to be separation of church and state, but all of the founders of America were very Christian and believed in God. And America was founded on Judeo-Christian values, right? Mm-hmm. And Western civilization. The reason I believe that Western civilization is collapsing is not just because of the abandonment of those values, but also the, you know, the modern family, nuclear family, all that stuff. You know, it's all tied together. And the more that they can make this a godless society and people that don't believe in a higher power or believe that their rights are...
Well, that's it.
Absolute.
That's the key. They want DC to be the creator and keeper of all rights.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's what it is, which is what the Soviet Union was, but okay.
So if that's what they want to call me, then so be it. I'll embrace it.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for today. Of course, if you have any comments, email us on a high note. triggered@townhall.com. Well, they can all f*** off.
Yeah, I know they can.
If you have any comments, email us triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from all of you. Of course, if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code SAVEAMERICA for 50% off. Get into this club of patriots. Not only will you get Triggered and Uncensored, but you get a ton of extra content from Matt, from Katie, from Spencer, the whole crew. If you become a gold member, you'll get it from all of our sites. You know, I can't emphasize enough that our members are what's making it possible for us to not only do things like Triggered, but also to do all of our reporting that we're doing here on all of our sites, Town Hall, Red State, PJ, the list goes on and on, because big tech is essentially trying to crush us out of existence by restricting our monetization. That's how they exert their power over publishers. They want to get rid of conservative media. It's what they're doing. It's what Facebook has done, Google. Thank God we still have X, Twitter, because of Elon. But in order to do this, it all costs money. And so we really need the direct support of our members, and that money is what goes to funding all of our journalism and all of our operations here. So anyone who is a VIP member, we love all of you. We love all of our listeners, and we hope you'll consider supporting us. If you haven't taken the dive into VIP yet, I promise you will love it. Like I always say, money back guarantee. Nobody else gets a money back guarantee besides Trigger listeners. Thousands of members, not a single person has ever asked for their money back. So that should stand for itself. All right, we'll be back here next week on Wednesday for another episode of Triggered. We'll have all the review of the State of the Union, which is sure to be wild. Of course, full coverage at townhall.com of the State of the Union and everything that goes on in its aftermath. We got another election night next Tuesday. Trump will officially clinch the nomination mathematically. And we'll have a lot to talk about. So we will see you next Wednesday for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.